Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Mark James and WEEI.com mastermind Rob Bradford on Sports Radio WEEI.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James
Bradford Show.
I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s.
What's this mean?
Dial 617-779-7937.
Next star here at WEEI, that, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
I'm Rob Bradford.
I don't get paid to care what you think. I get paid to tell you what I think.
Meow, 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 meow.
Follow me on Instagram, Mark James Talk.
You're blocked.
You don't come to Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that.
The new world.
Order. Hampton Beach is the second cleanest beach in the United States.
Mark James and Rob Bradford, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Okay, Cam, I see you. Can New England win the Super Bowl again? Can they do it again? I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Deshaun Watson. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But I love it.
Josh Allen is better than Cam Newton. Sam Darnold is better than Cam Newton. I'll take Chua over Cam Newton. And I still believe Jared Stidham is going to end up being the starting quarterback in New England over Cam Newton.
The only reason why I wouldn't play is because, like I said, it's my teammates. I'd feel morally right all the way up until that point. And so someone on my team is like, bro, I'm playing. Just play. Like, you need to play. Honor your contract. Like, play. Like, we're trying to win. That's the only thing that would hold me back. Everything else, I'd be fine without playing.
All right. Happy July 5th, everybody. I'm Rob Bradford. Mark James on assignment. And when I say on assignment, I mean on assignment. We've sent him out to somewhere, parts unknown, traveling up and down the East Coast. Brian DeFelice with us behind the glass. Brian, where is Mark? What's going on? What's happening?
I haven't spoken to him since yesterday. He just
Since yesterday.
He just said have a good show, and yeah.
You spoke to him yesterday?
Yeah, he texted me.
Oh, really? That's how you speak?
Yeah, he said happy 4th of July. I said thanks, Mark.
That's what
too.
He said?
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
No, he just wanted to see how the show is shaping up for today.
Are you serious?
See
Mark
maybe,
James chimed in.
Yeah,
that's more show prep than he's ever done in his life.
I want to see who was in with you, and then I'd say I'd let him know when I found out, and I haven't let him know yet because it's just you and I. So.
Wow, Mark. Well, Mark, we miss you. Travel safe. Get some good stories out there on assignment. I'm Rob Bradford. I'm going to be with you all the way up until 1 o'clock. Brian Barrett, who's been holding down the fort here all week long. I've been on with him about 80 hours myself. He's going to be jumping on at about 11 o'clock. I'll go into 11 to 4, so I'll be going to 9 to 1. So there's a lot to talk about, and when I say there's a lot to talk about, I'm not just doing the, there's a lot to talk about, Brian. There's a lot to talk about. I've heard that a lot this week. I've heard the shows, and they say, there's a ton to get to. No, all they get to is Cam Newton. That's all it is. Cam Newton this, Cam Newton that. 50 different ways to look at Cam Newton, and that's perfectly fine. We've had nothing else. So when Cam Newton was dropped in our lap at about 8 o'clock on last Sunday, it's perfectly understandable that everyone's talking about all Cam Newton all the time. But I will say this. We get to this point. got toured later in the week. I did a show with Andy Hart and the great Greg Dickerson, and it was, you know, it's like, okay, Cam Newton, yeah, okay. But I think right now, this is a good time to reset. This is a great time to reset and just say, everyone, you got your fireworks, you got your brown or yellow mustard, you got your hot dogs, you did whatever you did. My man Brian, he was up in the Lakes region, right? Correct?
That is correct.
Where fireworks are legal?
Fireworks are definitely legal up there, yeah.
Fireworks is legal, and so is gambling on table tennis in Russia. What a state that is. And so did you set off any fireworks? Did you take advantage of the legalities?
I'm not really a big fireworks setter myself, but when I was driving back to Boston this morning at 3:30 in the morning, I did see the signs on the Mass highways saying not to set them off in Massachusetts.
Yeah, there's a hard stop when it comes to fireworks in Massachusetts. And I know, and I think that there were more fireworks set off. There were certainly more arrests, or not arrests, but fines given out over the last week than ever before, because people, you know, they gotta be free. There's no big fireworks. There's no pop fireworks. So they gotta do something. And there's no more socially distant thing than fireworks. You don't really have a choice. If you aren't socially distant with fireworks, then you're blowing off your hand. So it made a whole lot of sense, as long as it was legal, as long as you were doing it on the other side of the state line in New Hampshire, to have fun with fireworks. But I hope everyone had a great 4th of July. I myself was in Chatham, Massachusetts, mingling amongst the highbrow people. And my wife and I just sauntering through. The great Courtney Cox of Neston.com, she tweeted at me. She said, I just walked by you, and I think it was you. You had your mask on. I said, I apologize for not acknowledging it, but I was deep in thought about what I was missing over at Fenway Park. All the batting practice sounds.
Did you hit up the Squire there?
That's what someone else said. What is the only Squire I know, and I just happen to know this, is a strip club in Saugus.
Easy, Rob.
Well, I'm just telling you. I've never been there, but I'm just telling you. What's the Squire? Is that a thing in Chatham?
It's just a restaurant on the main strip there. It's a bar, burger shop, whatever.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of people. And I will say this. People were being very vigilant, very with the mask. And you had signs saying, if you don't have your mask on, it's $300. Boom, right there. $300 on the spot. And it did make me think about, like, how vigilant the people in Massachusetts have been. And we see the maps now, and we see the cases all over the country, and the reds, particularly down in the south, and how bad it is. And really, you look at now Massachusetts and New York, and it's one of these things where, you know, people do deserve credit. And I was out there, and I think that I hope that everyone was the same way. But I think people do deserve credit. I didn't see a whole lot of Ozark-type situations. People were respectful of everyone. Like, I was actually outside an ice cream shop talking to somebody that I know, and I had lowered my mask, and somebody gave me a really dirty look, which I don't even mind. You know, it's like, okay, as long as, you know, I'd rather you err on the side of that and myself and call me out for being over the top, because that's the only way we're going to get through this. And one of the reasons why I want to bring this up, the COVID thing, because I know there'll be four more good hours of COVID talk tomorrow morning, as there always is on the Greg Hill Show. But probably the biggest story yesterday was David Price choosing not to play. Now, it was funny because when this was announced, you look on social media, and, you know, David Price obviously is a very polarizing figure in Boston and really in baseball as well. So people were sort of torn. They were tied into knots to what to respond to this, what to think. You know, I know that some people, you know, who wouldn't make it public were basically like, oh, there he goes again. There he goes again. But the David Price not playing thing, I think, is an important moment in this whole sports coming back, and not only for baseball. You have Oladipo not playing now in the NBA. You have some other guys not playing the NBA. But with baseball, there's no question about it. David Price is the biggest guy so far. And not only is he the biggest guy so far, but he's really like a guy who you would say, well, why is he not playing? You have a chance to actually win a championship here. You have a chance to prove yourself again. Because as we said with Rich Hill was on with us. Do we have that sound yet? Rich Hill sound?
I'll have to go through the bulk and pull.
All right, that's fine. That's all good. I sprung that on you. But we'll get that to you later because we got a couple of different. We do have the Joe Kelly sound, right? Correct? I heard that in the open. So there's when you come to this whole idea, the whole idea of coming back and playing sports again, there is the element of course we want sports back. Of course we do. And then you have the, oh, well, you know what? Hey, it's not so bad. It's okay. They're young guys. They'll get over it. But at the heart of it, too, you have guys who come out like David Price and Mike Trout, who is seemingly on the fence about this, and other guys who are all in different situations. That's one thing that everybody has to realize in this. Everyone's in different situations. Everybody. And so when David Price comes out yesterday and says, I'm not playing this season, you look at the whole thing. Why isn't he playing? The first thing people around here are like, oh, there's David Price again. I'm sorry. I had a lot of problems with David Price. I had some problems with things he did around here. But I have absolutely no problem with him not playing this year. Zero. Zero. We cannot lump David Price's decision now with anything else David Price did with Eck or anything else. You cannot do it. If you want to try, good. 617-779-7937. It is your prerogative to be wrong. But you cannot lump the two together. I have no problem with David Price doing what he's doing because this is his decision, and this thing that we're dealing with, COVID-19, is something which we can't just say, oh, you know what, just power through it. This can't be the Tom Brady, you know, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, which is basically saying just power through it. It's not like that, okay? David Price has two very young children. He has a wife. He has a family. That's his prerogative not to play. That's how serious this is. And by the way, it's not like he's saying, oh, you better pay me my $11 million while I do this. No, he's not going to get paid his $11 million. So I have no problem with David Price doing this. And really, when you look at this, everybody is in a different situation. And you have to look at every situation differently. Well, I brought this up the other day. Brock Holt, his wife is due in September. And he's going to play for the Brewers. I believe Mike Trout's wife is due very soon, August or September. It sounds like he's really on the fence. Gordon Hayward right here. He came out the other day. His wife is also due in September. And he said, listen, you know, I might leave. There is a very good chance that I leave. And who would blame him? And that would be right in the middle of crunch time when it comes to the Boston Celtics season. So anybody who is saying, oh, you know what, I blame this guy for playing or I blame this guy for not playing, there you are out of your mind. This isn't about, hey, don't let our team down. It's not about that. It's about everyone's individual situation. I mentioned Brock Holt's situation. His wife is due in September. He's a free agent. He can be a free agent after this year. As Ryan Brazier told me the other day, these 60 games for a lot of these guys, a lot of them are very important. They outweigh almost the risk that they feel like they're taking when it comes to the COVID-19. Everybody has different reasons. Brock Holt's going to be a free agent. I talked to John Lester in April. He said the same thing. He's like, listen, I had a bad year last year. I potentially could be a free agent this year. I'm 36 years old. I have to prove that I can still play. For David Price, his contract's going for a few more years. He's more worried about the here than now of his family. That's his prerogative. That is his prerogative. Now, we also have all kinds of different reasons for this. Joe Kelly, obviously a Bradford Show podcast Hall of Famer. When baseball came back, we turned to him. And one of the questions I asked, now to put this in context, Joe Kelly just had twins. His wife just had twins. I think it was in, it was in May. So his wife just had twins. So the logical question would be, he would fall under the, are you playing? Are you, you have newborns, you have a young family, you want to be around that young family, you don't want to take any chances. This is what he said.
The only reason why I wouldn't play is because, like I said, it's my teammates. I'd feel morally right all the way up until that point. Until someone on my team is like, bro, I'm playing, just play. Like, you need to play. Like, honor your contract, like, play, like, we're trying to win. That's the only thing that would hold me back. Everything else, I'd be fine without playing. I got twins, you know, got a 4-year-old. You know, it's not, like I said, who knows what the coronavirus entails, you know, in 50 years, what it will do to you. You know, who? No one knows. So, yeah, I could easily have been like, I'm doing what's right for my family. And then I'd get a text from DP or Mookie or any one of my teammates, any one of my fellow pitchers, any one of my fellow hitters, and then I would feel bad. That's the part about it. That was the only thing I probably couldn't live with.
Excellent job of bleeping there. It gets a little salty on the Bradfo show. So that's Joe Kelly, Dodgers pitcher. And it's interesting, within that sound clip, you hear him say DP. Say, I get a text from DP. Well, you know who DP is. It's David Price. And at the time that, you know, we didn't know that he wasn't going to play. So would Joe Kelly all of a sudden, after saying that, after feeling that, hear what David Price is doing? David Price, who, is, by the way, is one of his best friends in baseball. And say, hey, man, listen, look at what I just said. I'm all about the team. I want to stay home too, but I'm all about the team. I don't want to get that text from you. I don't want to let you guys down. What are you doing? And my guess is, and I've seen a tweet or Instagram post from Joe Kelly's wife, Ashley, was very supportive of David Price. My guess is like, no, you know, that's how Joe Kelly feels. I do not think that Joe Kelly is saying, David Price, what are you doing? Come on. Let's go. We get a chance to win this thing. We get a chance to win this weird championship. I don't think he's doing that. I don't think any of these guys doing that. I don't think anybody is saying, how dare you not play? Especially when you have a young family or you have any concerns. No, not at all. But it was interesting to hear that perspective from Joe Kelly, because he's saying he was thinking of staying home. He was thinking of not playing. And the only reason he's not staying home was because he doesn't want to let his teammates down. And he, and not in that clip, but he also cited an example. He quit baseball in eighth grade. He quit baseball in eighth grade because he was burnt out. He didn't want to play anymore. The only reason he started playing baseball again as a freshman in high school was because of his buddies. His buddies said, come on, man. You know, you throw 100 miles an hour as a 13-year-old or whatever you do. Come on, you got to play. And so that's why he came back, and he said it's the same situation. But that's Joe Kelly. That's David Price. That's Mike Trout. That's, by the way, Felix Hernandez. In case you missed it, Felix Hernandez was another one. And Felix Hernandez is 34 years old, and he pitched for the Atlanta Braves, or he's trying to pitch for the Atlanta Braves. He's a guy who was well on his way to reestablishing himself. One of the last outings we saw in spring training was Felix Hernandez absolutely dealing against the Red Sox. It was, I believe it was the game before the last game, the second to last game, the Red Sox, Ryan Weber versus Felix Hernandez, spring training game. Felix Hernandez was having this great spring training, and he dealt against the Red Sox. He was reinventing himself. He was on his way to reinventing himself after just having a horrific, horrific last couple of years. But here he is today, Felix Hernandez saying, nope, not playing. I'm not playing. I know that, you know, if I go out and I pitch well for these 11 starts, that I probably will get a major league contract and it'll be okay. But I'm not playing because it's too much of a risk. So why is all of this important? Because we've had the NBA have already come out and some guys say they're not playing. We've already had the Ryan Zimmermans of the world. For the baseball, a couple guys, Ian Desmond, say they're not playing. So why is yesterday important? Because yesterday was a day where it felt almost for the first time that this is getting really real. This is getting real when it comes to guys having not only having second thoughts, but guys not playing. And this is, I don't know if it's going to be a tipping point, but it very well could be the gate opening for other guys to say, hey, you know what? David Price, look at him. He has a chance to win a championship or one of the best teams in baseball. He's healthy. He feels good. He had a great spring training, and he's not playing. Maybe he's got the right idea. Maybe that's happening. Now, as far as we know, right now, no Red Sox are playing. But that's another wake-up call. The wake-up call of – there's two wake-up calls. There's the guys who aren't playing, and then there's the guys when even though the positive test percentage was really, really low for Major League Baseball, but when you see the Instagram post of Freddie Freeman's wife, I encourage you to go read that, and I'm going to paraphrase it. But Freddie Freeman, star for the Braves, he came down with COVID, and she's saying, listen, Freddie has tested positive for this. I can tell you that we did nothing. We didn't go out. We didn't go to restaurants. We didn't see anybody. We were very, very vigilant when it came to this thing. And this guy never got sick. And here he is getting COVID-19. So when you get that message and you're a major league player, do you rethink things? Do you rethink things when you go through this process that they've gone through a couple of days now? Where you've gone and we've seen the sound and the dynamic and the awful videos and the awful photos from, you know, 1,000 yards away of these guys over at Fenway. After finding out that Darwinson Hernandez and Josh Taylor have tested positive, after hearing Freddie Freeman tested positive, after going down the list, and I could give you the list. After hearing all that, and then now you're hearing guys saying, I'm not going to play. And then you hear Mike Trout say, maybe I won't play. Mike Trout, the face of the game, saying, I don't know if it's risk it. I'm going to risk it. And I'm telling you, if Mike Trout is saying that now, there is a better than 50% chance that he's not going to make it to the end of the year, if there is an end of the year. That's just a fact, because this is only going to get more awkward. There's going to be more tests. There's going to be more guys opting out. And even things like you have that. I don't know if everybody saw it, but Tanaka was throwing to, I believe it was Stanton yesterday, Yankee Stadium. And usually you would put up an L screen. An L screen is a screen in front of the mound when you take your first live batting practice. Well, everyone's in such a rush to get ready for the season. They just said, here, Masahiro Tanaka, you pitch to Giancarlo Stanton, just like a real game. And what happened? Tanaka took a line drive off the head. And I know that's just a coincidence. I know that's just happenstance. But it's because of the urgency to get back that there was no L screen in front of him. And that is just a small reminder that this is not the usual situations. This is not easing spring training into a season. It's not. And maybe we're just getting through all of this wave. These first couple days, you just have David Price, you have Felix Hernandez, you have Ian Desmond, you have Ryan Zimmerman, then you have the 30-something test, the positive test. You're getting through this. Everyone settles in, and everyone figures it out. Maybe that's the case, and you just get used to the new normal. Or maybe it just gets worse. And I'm telling you, this is a wake-up call, I think, for all sports. Because really, baseball, what we're seeing now is the first actual implementation of anything. All up until this point, all that we've had is NBA. This is what we're going to do. All we've had is NHL. This is what we're going to do. And there's been a smattering of practices, and there has been positive tests. But baseball is the first one. Now we're getting going. And football, oh my goodness, football has been trying to say, not really say it, but their actions have been, hey, business is normal. And it's been great. It's been awesome. Where you had football, where you had NFL free agency, and then you had the NFL draft, and then you had some more signings, and you have Cam Newton, And all in the background, now you're having the, well, yeah, we're going to cut down the preseason games to two. Yeah, well, we have some coaches who are worried. Yeah, we have some guys who are really worried. We have Rodney Harrison saying that we don't think you're going to get through a season. That's just starting with football. We're just starting that. And baseball's the first one. Baseball, this is the first wave of we're trying to put sports back. So I would ask everybody out there this, and we're going to get into Cam Newton. Don't worry about it. Like I said, one week ago today, we had no idea that Cam Newton was going to be a member of the Patriots. And then that night we find out that Cam Newton's a member of the Patriots, and we had a whole week of takes, so we want to sort of revisit that. And you're welcome to give your best Cam Newton take. But I do also want to get into this David Price thing. I want to figure out how you feel, because this, to me, is the reminder that this is not going to be normal, and this is very, very tenuous. I've been over to Fenway Park. I wasn't over there yesterday. The first day was Friday, and I want to give a shout-out to the PR staff, the media relations staff for the Red Sox, because it is a tough situation. They are doing their best. You can see everybody's trying to organize everything. It's not easy. And believe me, covering this team is going to be dramatically different. Not to give a spoiler alert for media stars, but let's just say one of the media stars is going to a member of the Red Sox because that's the best reporting that we have. Because we're sitting there, you know, thousands of yards away or feet away, and there's only so much you can do. It's nobody's fault. It's just the way it is. But this last few days have been the wake-up call to say, are we going to get through this? Are we really going to be able to put on a season? Because when David Price did that yesterday, to me, that, like I said, there was a lot to pick through in that decision, but it sort of felt like if he's doing it, and he's a popular guy in the game, he's a popular teammate, if he's doing it, maybe that's going to open the door for other guys. And once, if Mike Trout does it, if Buster Posey does it, then all of a sudden, now if you have a season where everyone knew it was going to be different, but now you have a season where people are really going to look at it with sort of a crooked eye. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Weigh on in. I'm Rob Bradford with you all the way up to 1 o'clock. Brian Barrett joins me at 11. He'll be going to 11:01. Media stars at 11:45. All kinds of good times. Brian DeFelice behind the glass. He's got 1 hour of sleep after setting off fireworks is exhausting. You said you did it.
I did not set off fireworks.
I mean, it's legal,
not.
My man. It's legal. It's okay.
I enjoy looking at them as much as the next person, but I'm not setting them off. I don't trust myself. Something's going to go wrong.
So you look up from afar?
Yeah, of
course. Were you socially distant?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Come on.
Yeah, mask 24/7.
Were people around you socially distant? Were you in were you in the New Hampshire version of Lake Ozarks?
I'd say
a lot of people partying?
Probably at their homes, their second homes with friends. I wasn't really it was just my immediate family.
How would you grade out what you saw? How would you grade out?
I would say that more people were not wearing masks out in town. In fact, actually, my mother got into a little bit of a tiff at the grocery store. Well, she didn't really start it, but I guess this lady was just went off because they were shopping, like in one of the aisles.
Yes.
And I have to get the full story still.
Did they both have masks on?
Yeah, it's a good thing
so
I wasn't.
So what's the problem?
It's a good thing I wasn't there. Well, apparently, my mother wasn't 6 feet away from her, but she was shopping. It wasn't like she was in line.
Well, listen, if you're going down a shopping aisle, there's only so much you can do.
What are we doing at this point? You know.
Well, we're being careful is what we're doing. But I'm sure your mother was careful.
I think this lady had a few screws loose.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think people are hypersensitive, but everyone in Massachusetts should honestly get a round of applause. Maybe they should win a media star. I mean, honestly, goodness gracious, really, you look at the map. It's crazy. And like I said, I was down in Chatham yesterday, and people were this is legit. People were everybody, and everybody was taking it very, very serious. And I get a sense that throughout the country, that's just not the case. But again, good COVID talk tomorrow from 9 to 1. I think the whole crew is back. So I know that they'll be diving on into this. 617-779-7937. Another thing before we go to break. For people who call up today, I was thinking about this. So, like I said, I was over at Fenway, and it's just bizarre. Like, you can hear everything. So, did you play baseball?
I was a huge baseball star. But then I turned 9, so
yeah, that's fine.
That's as far as I got.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. You played Little League, right?
I played Little League. Yeah.
All right. So
and then once we got to the higher levels, the coach stuck me in left field. I took that the wrong way.
As long as you're not in right field. Right field is the spot. You don't want to go to right field. Put it this way. It's not exactly like the Mookie Betts responsibility in Little League right field. It's the exact opposite. Actually, it's like you put the worst kid in right field. I mean, I'm sure they're all going to get better, but that's just how it is. But I will say this, so you would have a good perspective of this, is that you have chance, right? Like, so I don't know if
you... rally on 1-1-1, rally on 2.
He's a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
Yeah, all that stuff.
He's a be a batter, not a broken ladder. Or in Wiggy, as Wiggy said in South Boston, you know, swing, get the shoulder bat off your shoulder, bitch. You know, that's what he says. I mean, that's his words. That's what he said.
I like the one from the Sandlot. Is that your sister at left field?
Right. So all of this, I mean, this is one of the things we aren't thinking about with baseball. All of this is going to be able to be heard. Like, all of it. There's going to be, like, massive amounts of intimidation coming from each dugout. And so we also, as the Red Sox radio broadcast, Brian, we also have to fill in the crowd noise, right? So I would love to count on our listeners, if you do call in and you feel the mood striking you, give us your best chant. Give us your best taunting. And we'll make a compilation, and we'll hand it over to Ben Charleston, who produces the Red Sox broadcast, and we'll have our crowd noise. Like, do your best. Like, I don't know who the Red Sox, the first pitcher they're going to face. Maybe it'll be the Orioles. Alex Cobb, corner of the Cobb. Like, whatever. I don't know. I would just default to be a pitcher, not a belly itcher. But can you imagine, like, you have those skills where you can, if we have a compilation of this, we can just string them together and we can deliver them, right?
Easy enough, yeah.
And then Entercom loves us and we all get raises. That's how it works. All right, you can do that. Again, the number 617-779-7937. We got a trending right now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to Rob Bradford and Mark James. Bradford and James on WEEI.
Are you nervous at all with playing baseball in the coronavirus pandemic?
I think, you know, my feeling is that if you wash your hands, you wear a mask, you know, you do as much as you can to prevent, you know, the acquiring of the virus. I think that's you know, the best that anybody can do. There's always going to be that risk, and you know, it's just trying to see where you feel comfortable with that. You know, I'm excited to get back to playing, and it's going to be something that, you know, I've been looking forward to. I feel like I'm in kind of a little bit of a different scenario where some guys, obviously like myself, are coming off of injuries and being able to rehab all the way back and come back to the point where I'm at right now and feel as good as I do right now. It's very difficult
to not really want to go out and play. You know, that want is there, and I really can't wait to go out there and do it and provide, you know, some kind of reprieve, I think, for hopefully the fans when they turn on the TV will enjoy watching the games.
All right, that was Rich Hill on with Brian Barrett and myself. I believe that was that Tuesday? Tuesday night. Okay, so they were just showing up to Minnesota. Rich Hill, obviously former Red Sox pitcher, pitches for the Twins now. And he's a great example of a guy who, you know, you have different motivations and different approaches. And he is a guy who is basically wasn't going to pitch anyway until July. Now he's ready to go. The season lines up perfect for him. He's going to be have a normal season. He signed a one-year deal with the Twins. And now if he goes out and pitches like he thinks he's going to pitch, he can make himself a lot of money. These 60 games are really important for Rich Hill. And that's why he's going to play. But he also, earlier in the interview, he also admitted he's in Massachusetts. He said, when I was in Massachusetts hanging out in April, and things were really, really bad, I was thinking about not playing. And then things got better, and so I decided I'm going to play. And again, we know said the importance of playing. And for him, he also goes on to talk about just winning a championship. And really, winning a championship, him, is a huge deal. And he had a money quote in that interview, sort of off topic a little bit, but he asked him, well, how about a 60-game season? Is that a real championship? It's like, well, it was a couple of years ago a real championship. Obviously taking a huge swipe at the Houston Astros who beat his Dodgers. But this is a guy in Rich Hill who had come really close two straight years with the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Red Sox beat him. He misses out on that chance to win a championship. So he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care if it's 60 games or not. He's like, he views this as his chance to win a championship, and he's not alone. Along with the opportunity to establish himself, to get another contract, there are a lot of motivations here. Now, I will say this. That interview was the first day where they had done their quote-unquote intake, their tests, and hadn't gone through workout. Now we're going through workouts. Now we're seeing the dynamic. And, you know, the players I know appreciate the teams or what they're trying to do. If you go over to Fenway Park, and you've probably seen this on Twitter about how they're trying to get through this, where the clubhouses are closed, the players, you have two players each in a suite, so they're sharing a suite. You've seen images of these guys sitting outside eating their breakfast, you know, and then you have the batting practice in the concourses, the showers in the concourses, the trainer's room up on the deck, like all of it. Everything's spread out. So is it going to be a case? It could go two ways here. Is this going to be a case where everyone's just going to get used to it and the social distancing and these precautions that they're taking are going to be enough to really limit the amount of COVID-19 tests and you're going to be able to go through a season and people are going to feel better about it? Or after we've gotten these tests, after we've gotten these opt-outs, these people who aren't playing, and I'll go down the list right now for you. Ian Desmond, Felix Hernandez, Mike Leake, Joe Ross, Ryan Zimmerman, and of course, yesterday, David Price with the big name. You get these people who are opting out. Is there going to be more? Because people are going to say, well, the door's open. These guys aren't playing. I don't feel good about it. I think a big swing guy is how Mike Trout, how he responds. What does he say? Because he is on the record right now as saying he's on the fence. He's playing, he's working out, but he feels a little uneasy. His wife is going to be due. So will he leave? And if he leaves, will that open the door for even more guys? And then we talked about earlier, Gordon Hayward with the Celtics. Do people have a problem with that? Do people have, of course, the answer of course you shouldn't have a problem with a guy who says, I want to go home for the birth of my child, especially when it comes to health concerns. But he's saying, yeah, you know, I'll try playing, but my wife is due. You know, my wife is due in September, and the reality is that I'm going to leave. I'm paraphrasing, but so the Celtics really have to go in. And Brian, you tell me if I'm wrong. I know you're a hockey guy. And I don't know if hockey guys have gone down this road. Hockey guys, you know, like they've had obviously their positive tests, and I if I'm going to do the power rankings of leagues I think are going to get through this, I think the hockey's at the top of the list. But isn't the Gordon Hayward thing basically saying, enjoy me while you can because I'm leaving? Did I take that wrong?
That's the way I take it. The way I see it is, if we go far enough, chances are I'm not going to be there. And like you said, there are certain things in life where you have to put sports aside and realize, you know, what truly matters. And that's, we're talking about the guy's, you know, the birth of his kid, and the health of his wife,
right,
doing
and,
so.
And particularly when, you know, for instance, what happens if a team gets off to a bad start? What happens if a team is in an uphill battle right out of the gate? What happens if all of a sudden, you know, you have, you know, guys like for Atlanta already? I mean, they've had a pretty good significant amount of guys who have tested. I think they've had four, and they've just now have Felix Hernandez. So what if you have guys dropping off? Do guys say, hey, you know what? I'm backing out. That's another part of this I don't think people are thinking about when it comes to the baseball season. I know it's 60 games. I know everybody's in it. But what happens if teams get off to a slow start or start losing key guys? And then other guys are saying, you know, it was worth it. What if the Angels get off to a bad start? It's going to be a no-brainer for Mike Trout.
Well, the part about baseball that stands out amongst the other sports is the fact that they're not doing some sort of bubble, right? They're not doing some sort of hub city where they're planning on traveling.
The NFL
too, but the NFL, you know, they're still three, four months away. I mean, but
you would agree with me, Brian, is that this is I don't think people understood like what was going to happen here. This is the first salvo. This is the first wave of reality with this little sample of baseball. Because before this, we got the test for the NBA, and we had a smattering of guys, but we still don't know how it's going to be. This is the first, and I'm not talking about German soccer or KBO or anything like that. This is the first, this is reality, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think that in the last couple of days, you know, especially when you have a guy like David Price opting out, like that's the slap in the face.
Yeah, and like you said, teams get off to a bad start, but the thing is, the NHL, the NBA, these teams, first of all, they're going straight into a playoff scenario, essentially, right? So, and they're isolated in their cities.
That's the biggest difference, right?
Well, yeah.
Either you're in it or you're out.
Right, but at Fenway, they can put up these makeshift locker rooms and a press box is all they want, but they're still traveling, you know, on the road to play the away games. Like, and other parts of the country clearly are starting to go, like, you know, Florida. They're going through, it's not really a relapse. This is kind of their first wave. We had this already. Now they're getting it. So baseball spread out. The other sports are going to be condensed into their cities.
And you're right about the difference in baseball. I mean, baseball, it's, you know, these guys are going to have to be, I mean, these guys are going to have to be their own guardians. They are. And, you know, I saw a few of them. You know, I'm coming in after the show on Friday. I went down to Fenway, and, you know, they're working out in shifts. So I see, you know, a few of the players, which, by the way, so the few of the players come out, and so they're staying at whatever they're staying. They're out and about. They have to be vigilant. These guys are asking for autographs. These, you know, the typical autograph guys outside the players' parking lot. Like, what are you, insane? Like, what are you, what? If any of those people get one autograph at all this season, number one, like, I don't know what you're doing asking for autographs. But number two, like, no chance. No chance. I know that you're happy baseball's back and your autograph business is back. Just mail it in, man. The autograph business, you know what? Autographs are going to be worth more than ever. Look at it that way, right? Because no one's giving autographs anymore. No, there's not going to be one autograph this year. Not one, right? Not one. And there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. I went back to, we had the last preseason game. Will Fleming and I did the last preseason game on the WEI Red Sox Sports Radio Network, Shaw's and Star Market. And we're sitting there in Port Charlotte, and they were told, all the players were told, all the players were told what to do. No high fives, no autographs. And you know what they were doing? They were high-fiving and autographing. Like all the live long day. Guy hits a home run, 30 high-fives in the dugout. Guys signing autographs before the game. And they were told, and I understand they're not going to do it now. And listen, we all took this probably lighter than we should at that time. The fact that we were playing a baseball game with 80-year-olds crammed together with beer vendors drooling all over each other. Like, that was an example of that we were taking it too lightly. But that night, March 11th, when the music stopped in Grapefruit League action, like, that's when we understood that, okay, you know what? There are going to be no more autographs. There are going to be no more, you know, high fives. But it's going to be difficult. Not the autographs. That's not going to be difficult. But, you know, I saw a news report, and, you know, they're doing the news hit. Red Sox back at Fenway Park. And they're like, there's going to be new rules, you know, this and that. No spitting. And they show Andrew Benintendi spitting. Like, I guess it's a work in progress.
I don't know how that's going to be enforced.
Well, you know, and it's also like, come on. Come on, news guy. I mean, you're number one, Brian. You're right. I don't know either. I don't know. But this is a work. Everyone's trying to get,
I mean,
used
first
to
of all,
on day one, if you catch a guy spitting in the outfield, just like, we get it.
Well, like, it's one thing if a guy's in the outfield just like waiting between pitches, but a lot of times guys spit because like they're tired from running or whatever. Well, it's like that's just going to happen.
Well, and here's another little secret that I think that realistically that some of these guys are going to have to get over is chewing tobacco. I mean, I know they're not supposed to, but they do. Like, you know, another one of my 50 Joe Kelly podcasts in early April, when we were starting to get images of the mass from the KBO guys, and he said guys wouldn't do that here. Like, why? Because they like chewing tobacco too much. And you think, oh, well, that's easy. That's no problem. But you just stop. Like, I heard Greg Hill talk about this. Like, every year he's tried to stop. Every year these guys tried to stop. It's ingrained in them. And if it gets them to stop, great. But that's another reality. And you cannot be sneaking this around. You can't be doing this. All of this is a work in progress. All of it. I know what's not a work in progress, this show. We're off to a flying start. We got to take a break right now. We're going to get to your calls. John, Steve, I see you holding on. I'm Rob Bradford, Mark James on assignment, 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is Rob Bradford and Mark James on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. I'm Rob Bradford, Mark James on assignment. I'm with you to 1 o'clock. Brian Barrett's going to be joining me at 11. Media Stars, 11:45. I think we got a pretty good group. And the return of Media Stars, something that everyone looks forward to, if for no other reason, the horns. Just the horns. Give a little sample of the horns. I know I'm putting you on the spot, Brian, a little sample of the horn. So people, this is like makes people Sunday mornings, and we haven't had it because of the COVID. All right. That's one version of the horns, and we'll take it. That's good. That's good. Media Stars, 11:45. I appreciate everyone hanging on. Number, again, to join the conversation. We've been talking most about like the dynamic of like the tipping point that maybe this David Price decision was. And really, this is after this week, we've had we got a taste of what professional sports actually might look like, for better or for worse. So let's go to start out with my good friend Steve in Fall River. Steve, 1 second, Steve. Can you take that for me, Brian? There you go. Okay. Hey, Steve. Well,
the only thing I would ask about David Price before I would say something about him, remember when the quarterback in Indianapolis retired?
Yeah, right.
Everybody was saying he's a millennial, this is a millennial move, this, that, the other thing. The only reason I would give David Price a pass is if someone in his family has a pre-existing condition, or him himself. Other than that, it's a typical millennial David Price gutless move.
Oh, my God. Reaction, go ahead.
Because is David Price 32 years old?
He's older than that.
Is David Price in his 30s?
Yes.
I'll assume the rest of his immediate family is in their 30s or younger. There's no risk to David Price. There's very little risk to David Price. Rob, you've been following this. You're the expert here. There is very little risk. Now, we keep hearing about the number of cases. What number will trigger Major League Baseball? How often are they testing? So what if a 21-year-old has coronavirus? He's out for 2 weeks with the sniffles, Rob. Unless he has an underlying... Why are you huffing and puffing?
Well, because this I think... Because, Steve, because you're... It's ridiculous. Are you losing it, Steve? Steve,
are you
a little sensitive? I've never heard you react that way. Are you a little sensitive about this? Because, Steve, you should be sensitive about it, because you're saying that it's no big deal that anybody gets COVID-19, which is utterly ridiculous.
That's not what I said.
Okay, you tell me what you said.
If David Price is a 30-something... Any baseball player that's 40 or under, doesn't have pre-existing conditions, doesn't live with their mother-in-law who has pre-existing conditions, has a nuclear family, has very little risk. Very little risk. You get more of a chance of getting hit in the head with a line drive like Tanaka did yesterday than having a problem. How do I know this? I watch the news.
Sure.
I read, I see everything. You do too. It doesn't matter if you get it. Guess what? Hopefully you have it already. Then you're not a carrier. This is not something abnormal. This isn't, it doesn't live on a surface for 3 days like we heard about, Rob. People are still quarantining their mail and washing it. It's not on a can of cream and mushroom soup. It's at Shaw's. That's some other
Steve,
guy's
Steve, let me ask you this.
Transmission of
okay.
closeness.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you know for fact, if you get COVID-19, do you know how it will impact you later in life? Do you know that?
No, I don't.
Okay,
know
thank
that.
You. But thank, I, but no, 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 Steve. You talked. I'm going to talk now, because what you said is utterly ridiculous. Anything, this disease is awful. This disease, obviously, in terms of death, absolutely. You're talking about the age, the demographic. It is different. And if you got it, you certainly shouldn't be around people who are a high risk. Absolutely. But you also, if you have a family and you have loved ones, if I have young, especially young kids, and I don't know how this is going to impact, if my young kid, even though he's not going to pass away from it, I don't know how that's going to impact him going forward, because that's one thing they haven't figured
Rob,
out.
Rob, God bless you. I could tell you that about 900 other things. There's, all you're hearing is one little thread you heard in a news cycle, and you've blown it up 1,000 times.
No, I haven't. Everything has to be in play.
And if you're going
to
live your life like
that, everything has to be in play.
If you are going to live your life like that, I'm very sorry.
Here's a news flash. If I'm 35, I don't want to get COVID-19. And I don't want my family to get COVID-19. I don't want my kids to get COVID-19.
Then you haven't been listening except this one little thread of a sniffle. Somebody who said it does something to your lungs. Okay,
you know, Steve, like people like you who say who call this thing sniff.
I've been watching more than you, buddy. I've seen it all.
People who like you who call this things who compare this things. Be quiet for a second, Steve. People like you who call this things call this thing sniffles. Related to sniffles.
I didn't say
that. No, you certainly did. You certainly did.
It's got no impact. Well, you're always worried about death. Do you realize how many people have died from 1 to 19?
I understand that.
1 to 20? 1 or 2 in the whole country?
Okay.
People die, Rob.
Okay, Steve. Steve, first of all, I've never seen you this emotional because that shows me obviously you're wrong. So, secondly, you brought up Ryan Leaf, and that's a good example. Ryan Leaf stopped playing because, you know, and same with Rob Gronkowski.
One second.
Let's just say Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski starts playing because maybe he sees the impact that playing football is going to have on him later in life. Does anyone have a problem with him quitting playing football because of that?
No, and here, let me tell you why. I'm glad you brought that up. If you'll give me a second, I'll grind your little theory into dust if you'll let me. Rob Gronkowski can look at other football players that can't walk and all throughout time, and then he can look at his own situation. He had problems in college. He had problems in the NFL. He was breaking like he was made out of paper mache. So Rob Gronkowski would, in his own world, say, gee, I'm kind of tempted fate here. I might be walking on crutches. I might need a hip replacement. I might need this. I might need that. I might have concussions. How does one thing you read on social media, Rob, with no backing, you've just extrapolated into, oh, my God, right, so I saw one tweet.
Yeah, thank you. I saw one tweet on Funhouse, and I said, oh, my goodness, the COVID-19 could really hurt someone down the road. It was like, are you kidding me?
I felt like I was producing Jerry Springer right there with all the back and forth bickering.
Well, that's what Sunday morning, that's what the day after 4th of July is for.
Nah, that was a great first call, though.
Are you keeping a track over there? Are you keeping a board?
I like the fact that Steve got you going nice and early. It's good.
Well, I have never heard Steve like that. Steve was like, listen, this isn't political. This act can't be political. I understand people view this a different way. But one point that I didn't get a chance to say to Steve is that, all right, I get it. Demographics are different. The risk, high risk, low risk, everything. But what's the reason? Why didn't we have people come in the studio? Like, why didn't we have people come in the studio? Why didn't we have people come to work? Because you are trying not to get COVID-19. That's the whole purpose. And we don't know. And there have been people who died from it who are younger. And I understand that is a rarity. But if someone doesn't want to get COVID-19, especially when they have young kids or a family or any, I cannot criticize them. And if Steve wants to say what the example that I'm using about the risks that they have down the line, you're right. I can't prove that. But all I know is this, is that we have never in our lifetime seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this. And this is something that has shut down our world. So there is a reason why it has shut down our world, because we don't want to get it. We don't want to get it for all the reasons I said, whether it's the immediate death of the people getting it or the passing it along. And we're seeing it now. We cannot take this lightly. And so if David Price, as I said at the beginning of the show, if David Price, all the problems that I've had with him, not my favorite baseball player, but I cannot lump this decision in with his other decisions as a baseball player. I can't do it. I won't do it. And I understand people will immediately say, well, you know, he's a spoiled baseball player. That's fine. That's fine. I can't do it in this case. There is a reason none of us want to get this. None of this. If people do not want to go, if writers do not want to go to the park to cover a game, like, I'm not going to criticize them. And they're young. A lot of them are young. That's their prerogative. But to say, to be like Steve and say, oh, it's like sniffles. What's the big deal? The guy, first of all, is passing up $11 million. I mean, he's passing up on $11 million. And I understand that there's a reliance on his team and winning and everything else. But there is a reason why these guys don't want to do this. There's a reason why, you know, we're talking about David Price. Let's go to Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is a very popular guy in Boston, or a fairly popular guy in Boston. Are people going to rip him when he doesn't come back because he has a new board? I would ask that as well. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Albert in Rhode Island. Albert, what's going on? Good morning, Albert. How are you?
How's it going? Bradfoe, hey, when you walked outside today, before you stepped on your front lawn, did you look up in the sky and inspect 200 times for drones that could potentially come down and tap you on your head?
I did.
Then you could probably get a concussion. And then you know what would happen? You might actually die. There's like a 0.00003 same chance as having a fatality from COVID. 10 chance of dying if you don't pay attention and something falls from the sky and blasts you in your thick-headed, numb skull. You sound like such a pansy. You are exactly what this
community... That's what it's come to. That's what it's come to, Albert. When people, and believe me, I probably haven't been vigilant enough, Albert, to be honest with you. But that's what it's become.
No, Albert,
we're going to have a conversation. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready.
So,
I could do that.
So,
I'm a little nervous about it. I might die.
Okay.
A little nervous.
All right, Albert. When we talk,
offend me too. You might offend me. I'm just saying, I'm getting nervous. This really makes me uncomfortable. It makes me nervous. There's a chance that there could be some kind of exchange of bacteria. Bradfoe, it's politically motivated. The entire world has been put. This is communism in America. How do you not see it? It's politically motivated to put people into mass hysteria and to prevent people from exercising their daily civil liberties. You have people protesting. You have Democratic states. My maggot governor, Gina Raimondo, went out in front of 9,700 protesters without a mask on. Without a mask on. She's been telling us for 3 months that we shouldn't so much as be within 8 feet of each other. She walks out into a mass group of angry, hostile people spitting and screaming everywhere without a mask on. Open your eyes.
Okay. All right. Albert, hold on. All right. Let you talk. All right. Thank you. Here's the thing. Everyone has their prerogative to think that way. I mean, and I'm not going to get into this like back and forth about, you know, if COVID-19 is, if we're going overboard or not. I'm not, because again, 6 to 10 tomorrow, they do a great job of it, going back and forth. What we're talking about is professional sports. We're talking about this David Price decision and how this might be a tipping point. And I understand that the David Price decision is polarizing for a lot of reasons. It's polarizing because it's David Price. It's polarizing because, you know, you can say, well, you know, he's not at high risk. But I would say this, and this is just how I feel, and this is how a lot of these guys feel. And it's not only David Price. Once again, Gordon Hayward, his wife is giving birth. He's not going to go see his wife give birth and then go back, you know, potentially get the COVID-19 and then come back to his family. And you're saying, well, what's the big deal? His kids aren't like 50 years old. He's not 50 years old. What's the big deal? Well, people don't want to risk it. And as much as people like Steve and Albert want to say, it's no big deal, we know this for a fact, we don't know. We know, sure, you know, we can go by the facts in terms of like death, sure. But if you have a young family, family comes first, doesn't it? I mean, this isn't what we're told. I'll use the Gronkowski analogy again. And yeah, sure, Rob Gronkowski stopped playing. At least we think he stopped playing because he was breaking down physically. And maybe, or Barry Sanders or Ryan Leaf, they say, I don't want to risk the health consequences. They don't know they're going to get CTE. They don't know that. Much like these guys, much like David Price and his family, they don't know that they're going to have any, if they get COVID-19, if the kids get COVID-19, what the impact is going to have. We don't know because we don't. There hasn't been anything like this before. But if you want to put your family first in terms of the most insidious disease that we've seen in our lifetime over getting paid $11 million, I can't have a problem with that. I'm sorry. And I see everybody lined up. It's a great conversation because it's not going to stop there. I would disencourage this. I mean, like, this isn't political. This is not political. This isn't about, you know, like Albert in Rhode Island wanted to make it political, and he can say, well, like how we're approaching this is political. This is about, there is a reason why these teams and these leagues have taken the approach they have over the last 3 months, and they're taking the approach now, right? There is a reason for this, all of it. And now we're seeing the reason for it. Now we're seeing the implementation of it. What is this? How is this going to impact going forward after what we've seen for a few days of baseball? How this is going to impact actual playing these games? 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.